am so happy to gather together with you again on this day to study God's Word and to see what God has to say to us from His Word. Today, our topic is God's message to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. So that is where we're going today, and we're going to get this study on this and see what God has to say to us. Now, when reading of these letters to the seven churches, we have to understand and to know that there's four different ways that these can be interpreted. And we're going at it to look at what God would say to us individually at a church, as a church in this day and age, as we look at what He said to these particular churches in their day and age. And then we'll apply that to our lives and see where we need to go from here. So let's take a minute and let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for another day and another opportunity to open Your Word and to teach and preach Your Word to Your people. Father, I ask that You would open our ears that we might hear. Give us ears to hear Your Word and send Your Spirit to open our hearts to receive that which You would have us to receive. Give us wisdom in how to understand Your Word and apply it to our lives today. Teach us from Your Word so that in hearing Your Word, we will be doers of Your Word and not merely just hearers, but allow us to be changed from glory to glory. Father, speak to my heart so that I might speak Your words in season and out of season, and touch the hearers. And we'll thank You, and we'll give You honor, and we'll give You praise. Amen. All right, I hope you have your Bibles, and you'll need your notepads today with your pen, because you'll take some notes, and I sure hope that we'll be able to get something that we could use out of the hearing and studying of God's Word. Now, the letters are found in Revelation 2 and 3. But we're going to back up so that we can get just a little bit more in context. And we're going to back up to Revelation 1, 17. So turn in your Bibles to Revelation 1, 17. We'll be using the King James Version of the Bible today. And so if you have the King James Version, it will read the same as mine. If you have another translation, you will see it is closely worded the same way. All right, here we go. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Let me say this, that this is John And John is telling us of his experience of when the Lord took him in a vision, most likely, to heaven and showed him these things and told him to come back and share them with us. So that gives you a little context. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. This is what the Lord told John to write for him. So he's speaking as he's writing what the Lord said. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, of course, if you read Revelation 1, starting at verse 1 through 17, it will speak of these seven stars and seven candlesticks. And this is telling, giving the explanation of what these seven stars and seven candlesticks are. So the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now the angels of the seven churches are the messengers of the seven churches, or the pastors of the seven churches. You know, the one who speaks the word of God to the seven churches. And the candlesticks are the seven churches. Now you'll have to go back and read Revelation chapter 1, and you'll get an understanding that anytime we study, anytime we read, anytime this particular book is preached and taught, the hearers and that body will be blessed. So just by me sharing this with you today, there's a blessing in it. And so God is going to bless you for the study of his word. He is trying to give us a revelation. He's trying to tell us what is going to happen. And that's what revelation is, revealing. So let's pay attention. Let's hear with your spirit. And let's see what God has said to the churches and how that applies to us. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, and I'm in chapter 2, verse 1. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And the way we'll do this today is as we read the verses, we'll do some commentary on the verses, because we got a lot to go through and we want to get through all the seven churches and we want to make an application. So stay with me, take notes. Now, he who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Remember, the golden candlesticks are the churches. So he who walketh in the midst and has the seven stars in the right hand. So, unto the pastor, or the messenger of the church at Ephesus, write these things that the Lord says. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hath not fainted. Now here the Lord is saying, I know your works. I know you've done things. I know that you labor. I know you're working. I know that you have patience. I know that you are waiting on the Lord. I know that you are working and laboring in the field. I know that you do not put up with evil. I know that you have tried them who said they were apostles and are not, so you're not listening to false prophets. You're not listening to people who would take you astray. You have found a liar as a liar, you call them a liar, and you won't follow them. And you've done it for the sake of the Lord. And you have worked and you fainted not. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, so back up, verse 4, he's saying, I know that you've done all these good things. You've done some good things now. However, I still have something against you, because you've left the first love. Now, this gets very deep. Because first love, he left the things of God. He left the worship of God. He left the service of God. He left the passion that you once had for God. Now, even though you hate evil, which God also hates, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God wants us to return to the first love. Return to him. Be as on fire for him now, today, in this time, as you were when you first met him. In real terms, if you're not as on fire for him as you once was, then you have backslid. God says return to that passion you once had. Return to that zeal, not as in being a zealot, but as in your work, your worship, your service unto him, your sharing of the gospel. Remember when you first knew the Lord and you wanted to share it with everybody? When's the last time you shared the Lord? When's the last time you gave praise to his name? When the last time you were unashamedly satisfied with Jesus? He says, return to that, and I'll give you to eat from the tree of life. Return to those first fruits. Yes. Church in Ephesus. Lost your first love. Get back. Except thou repent and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. You don't want the church to be removed. You don't want the messenger of God to be removed from you. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works. Get back that fire. Get back that first love. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know thy blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now here we have just very short and sweet to the church of Smyrna. He says, I know your works. Again, giving credit. I know the works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So basically, God's saying here, I've seen your works and tribulation, troubles, trials, things coming against you. And he explains this further, and poverty, but thou art rich. Now, poverty, some might say, in the world's eyes, you have poverty, but in God's eyes, you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not. They say that they are in the family, but they're not in the family. Updating, they might say they're Christians, but they're not. They don't live like Christians. They don't have the fruit. They are not grafted into the vine. And they actually serve Satan. We have people in this day that would say they're Christian. A lot of Christians would follow them. And they are actually serving Satan. But the Bible is telling us, fear none of the things that you should suffer. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You know, the devil's going to put some in the prison, you know, for obeying your faith. You might remember the one lady in West Virginia. She would not give the marriage licenses to the folks who were same-sex marriage because it was against her faith. Well, she got put in jail. This is happening in today's day for people who stand for Christ, for people who stand for righteousness. There's signs that it's going to get worse. So some will be cast into prison. Some will be tried. We have cases brought against us. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Now, this is not a literal 10 days. That 10 is figurative number. But you'll have tribulation. But be faithful unto death. God will not put more on you than you can bear. In other words, be faithful. Don't quit. Stand. Be a Christian. Do not go with the crowd. Do not fold. Do not cave. Do not, you know, if you will, as you know, later on in the book of Revelation, there's talk of the mark of the beast. Do not take the mark. If you put your trust in God, put your faith in God, and follow him and not accept the things of Satan, he will reward you with the crown of life. And that's everlasting life. Again, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. If we follow Christ, we will not be hurt of the second death. Keep that in mind. And unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Again, this is Christ. I know thy works and where thy dwelleth, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. Okay, here with the church at Pergamos, Christ says, again, I know your works and where you dwellest. I know your work and I know where you are. I know where you live. I know where you work. Even though you work in Satan's seat and you hold fast to my name, you know, you call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a child of God. You won't deny the faith. You won't turn. Even when they were killing Christians, you were still there holding fast. In the midst of the enemy's camp, you stood and you said, I'm with Christ, I'm a Christian. But the Bible says I have some things against you. And you need to take care of this so that we can be in relationship. Some of you have one foot in Christ and the other foot in the world. You need to read the story of Balaam and Balak and the donkey, and that'll give you some insight into this right here. But basically, Balaam was not following God and had traditions that were pagan, and a lot of the Christians and Jews, if you will, God's people, when they went into this land, they intermarried with these pagan people. And so they brought a lot of things with them and became a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You know, they went to eat the things sacrificed to the idols. Of course, to commit fornication. They had temples that were, you know, sex temples. And God says, he brings up the Nicolaitans again. You need to study those. You know, that's one reason you have your pen and your notepad, so you can go back and look up some of these things. So, these things God hates. And you work walking with your feet in two different camps. God's camp and the devil's camp. You know, there's a lot of us who get the things like, you know, the Halloween, the Christmas tree, the Easter eggs, the Easter bunny, walking in two camps. You know, these are pagan rituals that were brought into the Christian church. So God says, repent, or else I will come quickly unto thee, and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Well, you don't want God speaking the word over you. And you don't want God fighting against you. You want him fighting for you. Because the side that God's on is going to win. The side that Christ is on is going to win. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And when you overcome, he'll give you from the hidden manna to eat. He'll give you what's needed to nourish yourself, to strengthen yourself, your daily bread. And he'll go further. He'll give you the stone, the white stone, with your name on it, that no man knoweth but the one receiving it, but you. Now, you got to understand what this stone is about. And several organizations, when you are trying to get in the organization, they will vote on you, the members of the organization. And they will give you a white marble, and that says, yes, we accept them, we receive them. That's a vote of confidence. Or the black marble. And the black marble is a vote of no confidence, and it only takes one black marble for you not to get in. And so he's saying, I will give you the white stone. Now, when Christ gives you the stone, you know you're in. Because when he votes for you, that's all you need. And he says, not only will I give you the stone, I'm going to write your name in it. I'm going to give you a new name. Like I gave Abraham. Like I gave Isaac. I'm going to give you a new name. Like I gave Jacob. I want the name that Christ wants me to have. I want a new name. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira, right? These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat the things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repenteth not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, now it's a mouthful. Now in the church of Thyatira, God is saying, again, I know your works and your charity. And remember in King James where it says charity, that's love. And acts of service and faith and your patience and more works and the last to be more than the first. In other words, you didn't get tired of works and your work was based in love and your service is based in love, and your faith is in the Lord God, and you work because you know of his coming, and you believe in his coming, and you wait patiently on his coming, but as you wait, you work. And even though you got all that going for you, you still got some wrongdoing that you got to correct. You're allowing people to stand and preach that have no business preaching. You're having people teach that have no business teaching, and they use their position to pull people away from the faith. They use their position to influence people away from God. You know, they make allowances and excuses for people that God does not give allowances and excuses for. In the church today, we have many people in positions that God would not have in the position in the church. But we look the other way because this person is providing something to the church. Maybe they're a good musician. Maybe they speak really well. Maybe they teach really well. Maybe they have influence in the community. But that's a problem. You let that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. Although you know God gave her the chance to repent, God showed her the error of her ways. She did not repent. She just kept right on doing as she was doing. God says, be careful and don't fall for it. Do not get in bed with this woman. There may be another Jezebel in today's day. And many people are lifting her up, elevating her. She's full of the devil, trying to get you to go the way of the devil, trying to get you to do things that you know are against God, that are against the Bible, trying to get you to think this is okay when it's not okay. Giving you a doctrine of man and placing that doctrine of man above the doctrine of God. You know these things are satanic. Do not follow her. Hold fast. God says on this one, you know what? I'm not going to burden you with a whole bunch of stuff. I want you to deal with this one situation. You're following the wrong person. You're elevating the wrong person. Turn from evil. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from evil leaders. Do not support them. Do not follow them. Turn. Otherwise, there's going to be big trouble. Again, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You got two good ears. Hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Stand up and call what's right, right. What's wrong, wrong. Do not support what's wrong. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here you go, church. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. You know, you have a reputation that you are alive, but you're not. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Your works are not mature. Your works are not complete. Your works are not how God would have them. Remember how you received and heard. Remember the word you heard. Hold fast to the word and repent. This is key. When you find that you are not perfect, don't make excuses. Don't give justification. Repent. That's what time it is. Time to repent. Confess. Confess your shortcomings. Not make excuses for them. Not make justification for them. But confess them and repent of them. Repent of your shortcomings. Repent that you are not as on fire as you once were. Repent that you've allowed the troubles of this world to take you out of your relationship with the Lord. Repent that you are not as on fire as you once were. Repent that your walk is not as godly as it once was. Because when you repent, then you'll be like the ones that have not defiled their garment. You'll be like the ones that are living holy, living righteous, trying to walk the right way, trying to do the right thing. And you will be given to walk with Christ in white. For then you will be worthy once you repent. So overcome. Because when you overcome, you're going to be the same. You're going to be just like that. You are going to get that white linen. And your name will not be blotted out. You're in like Flynn. So live it. Give praise. He that have an ear, hear. All right. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from that hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this is the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Love, brotherly love. These things saith the Lord. He's holy. He's true. He has the key of David. He openeth and no man can shut, and shutteth and no man can open. See, he is the one that's in control. He's the one we need to serve. He knows our work again. And because he knows, he set before an open door. You operate in love, you have an open door, and no man can shut it. You continue to love. You continue to have patience, wait on the Lord. You only have a little strength, but that's all you need. Keep the word. And don't deny Christ. Do not follow someone else. Do not follow the false Christian. Do not follow the fake Christian. Do not follow the person who is going down and going against everything that the Lord would say not to do, they do. What the Lord says to do, they don't do. But there's an open door for those people who keep the word and who are not ashamed of Christ and who do not deny the name of Christ. Speaking to somebody here, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And finally, unto the angel of the church at the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, the beginning of creation of God. And all these different ways Jesus is describing himself and saying who he is. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, here this seven church. The Lord would say, I know your works. And your works is that you're neither hot nor cold. And I would that you was either cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You make me feel like throw up. You make me want to vomit. I don't want to deal with the lukewarm. If you were cold, I could set a fire underneath you. If you were hot, that's great because now you're blazing on fire for me and you are a witness for me. But because you're lukewarm, you're of no good. You're no good. You're not on either side. You're trying to ride the fence. You're going down the middle of the road. And if you go down the middle of the road, you're going to get smashed. He says that you say in your mind, you say to yourself, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. Man, I have been blessed. I am driving a car. I got a good income. I got a nice house. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I don't need anything. I have a decent business. You know, I'm doing pretty good. But you don't know that you're wretched. You don't even know how miserable you are. You don't know how poor you are and how blind and naked you are. And Christ is trying to let you know, listen, you need value in heaven. You need to purchase this gold that's tried in fire because your worldly riches are doing you no good. Your worldly wealth are doing you no good. It's pulling you down. But buy gold from the Lord that's been tried in the fire so you can really be rich and so that you can be clothed, because right now you're naked and God sees right through you. He sees your nakedness. And he says it does not look good. You need to be covered. You need to be covered in the blood. You need to be covered in righteousness. He says, anoint your eyes with salve so you can see. Because you're not seeing clearly now. You've been blinded by this world. And people are complimenting you. But they're complimenting you on the wrong things. He says, I love you. That's why I rebuke you. I love you. That's why I chasten you. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him and I will sup with him. And he with me. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Will you open the door and let him in? Will you let him into your heart? Will you let him into your mind? Will you let him have control? Will you let him be Lord of your life? the King of Kings is coming to you. He's coming to your house. He knocks at the door to your heart. He doesn't want to hear, yeah, but. He doesn't want to hear, let me clean up first. He doesn't want to hear, you know, I'm not really ready for company. He doesn't want to hear, you know, I've got this, that, and the other, and I really don't have time to entertain you because I'm busy keeping this job afloat. I'm busy serving the man. So I cannot accept you right now. I can't receive you right now. That is a sad state of affairs. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's got his finger on things. He's saying, this right here, you need to give this to me. This right here, you need to turn away from that. This right here, you need to do better than that. This right here, you need to put this down. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Each time he spoke to a church, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, well, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Churches. To each church he spoke, he said, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Which kind of gives me to think, in each church, there's some people that are in each one of these categories. In each church, there's people who need to hear what God has against them. God is telling you what he has against you. He is convicting you, putting you under conviction, not condemnation, but conviction, so that you will confess, agree with God on what it is, and then repent, turn, change your mind, change the way you think about such a thing, and agree with him, God, that it's wrong, that it's not pleasing to God, and that you did it, and make every opportunity, take every effort to make it right. Repent of your wicked way. Everybody else might be doing it, but everybody else is not called to walk with Christ. He's not knocking on their door. He's knocking on the door to your heart right now. And he's asking, will you let him in? Will you let him in? Will you let him eat with you? That's the question. Will you let him in? And he'll help you clean it up. He'll help you make it right. He will dress you in the white linen. He will prepare you with wealth that is eternal. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you touch the hearts of men and women who hear your word. I thank you that you would rebuke us and chasten us and discipline us because you love us and you want to be in relationship with us, but you want to be in a right relationship. You want to be Lord of our lives. You want to guide us. You want to lead us. You want to direct us. You don't want us to follow the Jezebel spirit. You don't want us to follow Balaam. You don't want us to follow the spirit of Baal. You don't want us to follow pagan traditions. You want us to live godly. You want us to live in righteousness, and you want our works to be mature and out of love. Love for you and love for your people. Jesus, when you knock on the door to our hearts, cause us to open the door and let you in. And right now, if you're under the sound of my voice, I want you to pray this prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to come in to your heart. Even if you've asked him before, I want you to ask him again with the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to sup with you. And to remove anything that is not pleasing to God. Give him that liberty. Ask him to show you if there's any wicked thing in you so that you can confess it and repent of it. And to walk in new. Some of us have one sin or another sin or the other sin, and it's become so commonplace we don't even see it as sin anymore. And we use excuses like, well, God knows my heart. Father, you do know our heart. Help us to see our heart. Help us to see where we need to repent and cause us to repent and to walk in the newness of life. Help many souls to rededicate themselves to you today. And those who never knew you, help them to know you today. So when you do come and when we do pass, and we see you face to face, we are able to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And Lord, when the trials and tribulations come, help us to stand firm and stand fast in your word and on your word, and help us to confess you before men. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank y'all for listening today. This was a lot of word. It's taken a good little piece of time. And I thank you for staying with me. And I pray that you plug in and touch God because he wants to touch you. Next week, we will do characteristics of a Christian again, and we'll get some more characteristics, and we'll see how we line up and we can grow more and more. So God bless you. I'm hoping you'll meet with me on tomorrow and throughout the week, Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock for the live cast, praying for the country. for revival because we desperately need it. And so look on my page. You'll see information on that. Revival USA has its own page for those prayers, those prayer meetings online. And that's where you'll be able to see the live cast, the video of me leading you into prayer. So even if you can't meet with us at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, noon, pray in place. Take a moment and just pray, knowing that many are praying with you for our country. God bless you. You know I love you. God loves you too. Have a wonderful week.